You're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
On the 27th of July 2021, AHDB ran an on-farm event at Nineserga Farm to find out how Adrian Bland was hoping to meet growth rate targets for his 180 head of young stock using a rotational grazing system. In this podcast, James Haig, Knowledge Exchange Manager, speaks to Adrian to follow up from the meeting and find out what his plans are going forward. He will also speak to James Daniel from Precision Grazing, who is helping Adrian have a greater control over grass production, enhance the quality of the grazed grass, improve animal performance per hectare, and potentially extend the grazing period.
Adrian, could you just introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, Adrian Bland. So we have a tented dairy farm, 120 milk cows, rear all the young stock, including the male calves, by a few male calves in as well, take them through to 2 year old, predominantly on grass, and hopefully this year on fodder beet as well through winter.
Great, thanks. And James, just introduce yourself, please, for everyone.
James Daniel, Director and Founder of Precision Grazing. We work with sheep, beef, and dairy farmers across England and Wales to improve use of grazed grass.
Thanks very much, Adrian. Just tell us a little bit about the work that you and James have been doing and what it is that you're hoping to achieve on the farm.
Well, we've been paddock grazing the dairy cows for 7 years and started doing the young stock last year properly, you might say. And we were sort of struggling to get our heads around just the best way to do it and how to improve and become more efficient. So, yeah, we got James involved because it's his speciality to give us some pointers and directors in so we could use the grass a lot better and get better growth rates.
Could you just quickly summarise the grass measurements that you've been taking? Where you feel you are at the moment?
Well, we've been grass measuring at home for 6-7 years. So we started grass measuring last year. We measure every paddock every week to give us an idea of growth rates. And so we know which paddocks we've got the highest covers in. Then we know where to target the what to graze next and whether to take out any paddocks for silage.
Thanks very much. James, when we started the farm tour, we spent some of the time in one of the paddocks that had been reseeded. It had suffered in the drought, and you dug a hole for us so we could have a look at the soil. But just remind us, what are some of the things that you were showing us that we need to look at when we're digging the hole looking at the soil?
Yeah, this was a permanent grass paddock that had been reseeded back to grass. The paddock had been identified as being one of the poorest performing fields on the farm, and that was the value of Adrian regularly measuring his grass at the end of the year. He was able to quantify how much grass in terms of tons of dry matter each paddock had produced. And this field was in the bottom quarter of all paddocks on the farm in terms of production. So therefore, it was viable, economically viable to be reseeded. The paddock had a sort of a medium level of germination. And the topic of conversation in the paddock was actually around the way in which plants grow, how through the process of photosynthesis, they capture the sun's energy, and they use that energy in three ways. One is for leaf growth above ground, which is what we generally see. The second is to grow the root system below. And then the third is to take some of that energy and put it through the roots and into the soil in order to be shared with bacteria and fungi in the soil in exchange for nutrients. And we can see evidence of that process starting to happen in the reseed with the soil particles that were sort of closely bonded and bound to the soil roots. And we call that area the rhizosheath. And that's a covering of soil around the root zone. And that's the very start of the energy from the plant being shared into the soil. And that's a good indicator of a healthy, well-functioning plant, is that rhizosheath. And that's the covering of soil on the plant. And it's the first part of soil stabilization and the formation of soil structure, as the energy, or more so if you see it as liquid carbon, being passed from the plant into the soil and then bonding and binding the soil aggregates together to create structure. So we saw that happening. And the debate really was around some of the annual grass weeds that were in the paddock and the paddock's need for rain, although the dry period had at least encouraged the plants to put down strong roots in search for moisture. So now the rain's arrived, hopefully Adrian's going to be able to go and graze that paddock very shortly.
Adrian, as James just mentioned, that you'd experienced a drought, it had an impact on growth and consequently your rotation. What other impacts has the drought had? Without the rain that you've just had over the weekend, what would have been your plan B?
Yeah, it's been pretty dry for the middle of March, for Peerth. Northwest of England is usually classed as a wet area of the country, but anyway, it certainly hasn't been this year. So we had a bit of rain in May, which sort of kept us going. At the end of June, we got a little bit more, which sort of only just kept stopped things burning up. And yeah, fortunately, after the meeting, we've had a bit over the weekend. The plan would have been, if it hadn't rained, we were rotating around, so the last three paddocks with reasonable covers on. We would have stopped in the last paddock and introduced bales and cake for the young stock for maybe a few days a week to let the rest of the farm keep growing. Fortunately, it has rained, so we think we can keep the rotation going. Hopefully, we're going to start now target lower covers instead of going into grass that's well over 3,000. We're targeting grass under 3,000 covers, and with a a bit of luck, we should be able to carry on that rotation.
James, we also spoke about how long we should have heifers or grazing stock in what area, and also how you can regenerate soils. Just could you tell us a little bit more about that, please?
Yeah, through an understanding of how grass plants or all plants grow, is that through the process of growing, they're able to store a portion of their energy in the root system and in the stem of the plant. Once the plant's grazed, that energy reserve is the source of energy to enable the plant to grow its first leaf. And once it's got its first leaf, the process of photosynthesis takes over. So in essence, to have a productive pastoral system, once the plant's been grazed once, we want to move the animals before they have a chance to graze the first leaf or to graze the regrowth. We don't want to return to that paddock until the plants are fully recovered. So in ryegrass, this term just means graze the plant and then come back when it's got 2.5 to 3 leaves. So the essence then is that we don't want to stay in one place long enough for the animals to graze the regrowth. And in the UK, during the growing season, so let's say that's 1st of April through to end of October, a rough rule of thumb is to move animals every 2 to 5 days through that period, with an average for dry stock of being around 3 days. So if animals move to a new paddock every 3 days, there's very little danger of them grazing the regrowth. If they were to stay longer and graze the regrowth, then that can put the plant under undue stress. And if that stress is combined with moisture stress, for instance, as we've seen in some regions this summer, that may cause the plant to die. And then when the plant dies, that leaves a gap in the pasture. And that gap is all too often filled with a weed grass species or with a weed. And that causes a decline in the quality of that pasture and eventually the quantity or productivity. So a rule of thumb is, ideally sort of 2 to 5 days in a paddock, with a round number being 3.
Adrian, we've spoken about the challenges with the drought that you'd experienced in the months leading up to the meeting, but what are your goals longer term going forward?
Going forward, after having a chat with James, we usually flush the sheep on the same block of land ready for tupping. So we get the young stock off mid-October, introduce the sheep late October. Last year, we set stock them for 4 weeks in each individual field and paid the penalty in the spring. So the grass at the home farm where the dairy cows was up and running and cows were out grazing. It was great. And we were waiting and waiting for the grass and the young stock block to get up and going. It was like 3-4 weeks behind. So to prevent that happening this year, we're going to rotationally graze the sheep. We're targeting, a maximum of 7 days, but we're targeting 5 days and move them on. So rather than putting so many sheep in every field, we'll put all the sheep in one field and move them on and rotationally graze them rather than in a paddock. Actually in the whole field, because the field's about 15 acres, so the paddocks are about 5, so we'll remove all the electric fences. And so hopefully, next year we'll have a lot more grass in the spring.
Good plan. James, bearing that in mind, what might Adrian need to consider to achieve this or not forget about? What are your tips to him?
I think Adrian should consider any limitations that might prevent him from putting all his ewes into one group. Previously, they've been mated. There's a number of smaller groups, one in each field. And so it's identifying any decent and practical measures which would prevent those ewes running together. So in some systems, that might be body condition score. So the aim really would be to make sure, starting from now, that all those ewes are able to get towards the target body condition score prior to tupping, so they can be managed effectively as one group. And also to sort out any issues that might lie around breed or type that may have meant certain rounds we use different lines of stock. So if those issues can be overcome and the ewes run as one group, then it's simply a matter of making sure the field itself is secure. And it could be done through using the plate meter is you could go in on, let's say, the 1st of October, measure the grass and the paddocks, and then work out how many days per paddock it would take to bring that field to a suitable residual. Adrian should also graze the fields in the same order as he wishes to graze them in the spring. So it may be the field by the buildings is grazed first, so that one has the longest rest period, so it's ready, hopefully, with the right amount of grass in it for spring of 2022.
Thanks, James. Adrian, overall, how did you feel the event went, and what messages were you able to take away from it?
We learned an awful lot from the event. There was only a small group, which sometimes is good because it creates more discussion and more people get involved in that. So that was good. We had a lot of good discussion, got a lot of good feedback. Yeah, I learned a lot. So the biggest thing that I hadn't heard, I'm going to take going forward, is stock size compared to grass height in growth. That's something I'd never heard before, that the smaller the stock is, the lower the cover wants to be, because to do with the bite size that he's capable of taking. So yeah, we'll be mindful of that. I'm always err on the side of caution, especially with the young stock, because I always frightened of running out of grass, because the issue is, what do you do if you do run out of grass? But this last two summers we have run out of grass and we have coped with it. So I think next year I'm going to try and actively target lower covers right from the start of the season to try and keep the grass quality up. We have got some Westerwolds in that will be in around some fodder weights. At push, we could drop them onto them for a day or two, or even, you know, if you need to slow it down just for a couple of days, drop a feeder in the field with some very young, lush Westerwold haylage in there. It's going to be just like eating grass to the young stock, so it won't be an issue for the rumens. So yeah, I think that's my aim next year, is to be braver and target lower covers to keep the quality better. Mindful that if I do run out, I have all the tools in the box to get out of jail, you might say.
Adrian, just tell us a little bit your thoughts, really, on how the R1s and the R2s have performed this year on the grass.
The R1s, I think, have probably done better than last year. This is our second year of grazing, and I think we're getting better at it. I think we've got loads and loads of improvement to do yet. We did a average growth rate last year of 0.74 while out at grass. But when they were inside, they did a growth rate of 0.9. So the inside is very expensive, the outside is very cheap. So we have to be mindful of what we're doing. So we hopefully aim for an average of 0.8, but we probably should have 0.9 in the summer and 0.7 in the winter, around the other way around, because obviously it's costing a lot of money to get the 0.9 in the winter. So yeah, they are doing better. The R2s, it's really my bullocks, really my fattening bullocks down there. They've done way better than last year. We're going again to sort some more out to market this week. Forced into marketing because of the drought. Very pleased that I was forced into marketing because of the drought, because they have been selling very well. So yeah, I think in another year, when we've got most of the reseeding done with more grass to play with, then we can push the covers lower without having the risk of running out. The stock will do even better, hopefully.
James, what would you expect growth rates to look like on young stock at grass?
Young stock at grass, growth rates can be really variable. Young stock in a grazing management system, then the growth rates can be very, very good. So there's a variance in performance is generally down to the level of management. And some of the ways to make sure your system is successful is to commit a bit of time and effort and maybe a small amount of money into setting up the infrastructure required for grazing management. So for dry stock systems, for heifer systems, I'd suggest that looks like a minimum of 6 and ideally 8 paddocks per group. And then if we think about a 24-day rotation, if we had 8 paddocks, the stock would spend 3 days a paddock. If those paddocks were set up, so they were physically constructed, perhaps using temporary electric fencing at the start of the grazing season, it becomes very easy to manage the grazing or the pasture in those paddocks, because it's easy to see what's going on. The stock have to move because the paddocks are relatively small, so they have to move frequently. 3 days per paddock avoids overgrazing, and it becomes easy to make decisions such as removing a paddock for silage or to be grazed with another stock class should you get into a position of surplus. So that enables pasture quality to be kept high. If pasture quality can be kept high, then I'd expect stock at pasture, once they're 6 months old, to easily achieve 0.8 kilos or above a day. And if we look at what most of our heifers need to achieve to be able to be mated at 15 months, the target will be 60% of mature weight at 15 months. And for most breeds, they would need to achieve in the range of 0.75 to 0.9 kilos a day, which is very possible on managed pasture. If heifers or dry stock are set stocked, then sometimes growth rates are disappointing. And so the easy solution for that is to create these paddock systems, and that would enable management to be much simpler and see a vast or great improvement in animal performance, which has a knock-on effect economically, and also consistent rates of growth have been proven to, you know, go through with that heifer as she enters the milking herd to support longer lifetime productivity as a milking cow. So there's a lot of value up for grabs, and it can come at quite a low initial cost, which is the cost of setting up some paddocks and being prepared to move the stock regularly.
Adrian, you've been rotationally grazing now for a couple of years, but what changes have you made to the calves young stock while you've been grazing them?
Well, 3 years ago, we provided supplement for the calves all summer to keep the growth rates up. We were set stocking, maybe moving them into an odd time or two into different fields, but they were sticking around for at least a month in one field. So we were, you know, supplementing with concentrate for right up until the end of July, really, till we thought the calves were big enough to cope on just grass. And that was at about a rate of about a kilo a day for what is now effectively 85, 90 days longer than we were caking them for. We still have to cake for the first 3 weeks for this because we've got this turnout coccyx to contend with. And to be fair, it probably works quite well, does that, because it helps the calves train to the electric fences quite well and learn to move on to the paddock, the following paddock, because they come looking for the cake and the cake happens to be in the next paddock. So they soon learn that that's, you know, how the system works. And yeah, so that saving now is in the region of £27 a head, given that calf cake's now 275, pushing £300 a ton. And you times that by 160 cows, you soon get to into thousands of pounds, so well over £3,000 saving. And I think the calves are doing better than they were when we were on cake. This year, I was pleasantly surprised just how good they are compared to even last year and the years before.
Thank you very much to both of you. Some really useful tidbits there, and hopefully everyone can take something away from that.
You can follow Adrian's journey on the Nineserga Farm page on the AHDB website, or find out more about grass at ahdb.org.uk/grass. The AHDB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.